Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. On today's show, we're talking about a springtime ritual. The operation of the sump pump is linked to spring showers and the spring thaw. All that water being held in the frozen ground or on the surface lets go all at once, it seems, and the water table rises quickly. Add a few spring rainstorms and all of a sudden you have inches of water in your basement. If you have tenants in a basement apartment, you can be facing the unpleasant task of relocating your tenants into a hotel. Emergency repairs, mold remediation, possibly an insurance claim, assuming you even have flood insurance. Sump pumps require regular testing. They can go for months without turning on. The seals might get dry and brittle, and the pump could fail shortly after it starts up. But the real test comes when there are multiple failures. In our home city of Ottawa, Canada, we had an ice storm last week that lasted only a day. We had an inch of accumulation on most surfaces. The ice then turned to rain, and at the same time we had numerous power outages as a result of the ice damage to the power infrastructure. We were without power for 2 days. My sister in Montreal is expected to be without power for 10 days. She's having to pump the sump manually. That means waking up every 2 hours to make sure the basement doesn't flood. At one of our construction sites, we had a power outage at the same time as the spring thaw. We had the water rise to about 4 inches above the basement floor. It took a generator running for 16 hours to empty the basement and to drop the water level to 18 inches below the foundation. I heard from others who were also experiencing flooding in their basements. Some had tenants who needed to be relocated while the repairs were made. Springtime is a season when the winter melt can cause a deluge of water. I've seen numerous design flaws in drainage systems. Some pumps are great, but the question is, where do you send all that water? Some systems are designed to pump into the weeping tile. If the weeping tile is draining under the foundation, then you're basically pumping water through a closed system. You're not getting rid of the water. Some communities have a regulation against pumping stormwater into the sanitary sewer. I believe you need a dedicated drainage line taking your water far away from the foundation and eventually draining into a stormwater drain. Some homeowners have implemented a secondary pumping system connected to the city's water supply, and the pump has a float switch using the energy in the pressurized drinking water supply to run the pump in the event of a power outage. But these are illegal in some communities. You need to check your local building code to determine if you can install a water-powered pump. If your property is in a rural area and you're using a well instead of municipal water supply, then the water-powered pump is of no use to you. You need power to get water. The key is to have backup power. Some have suggested using a battery backup system, but the battery life is usually too short. In the springtime, the rising water can be persistent for a few weeks. A gas-powered generator is the only good option. But what do you do if you're traveling when the power outage happens? Who's going to take care of the problem? Who's even going to be alerted of the problem? How would you even know that you have a problem? This is particularly important in a rental property. With no power, there's also likely no internet. I highly recommend a high water alarm to be placed in the sump pit in your basement. That alarm should also have a battery backup with a battery life of at least a few days. Some home alarm systems also have a battery backup, and you can often add a water sensor to the alarm. That way, the alarm monitoring service will at least get notified of the high water alarm before you've got a full flood on your hands. And some modern alarm systems use a cellular connection in case your internet is down. When there's a storm event of this type, don't count on being able to go out and buy what you need. We've heard numerous stories of suppliers having zero stock. Some electrical and plumbing contractors try to capitalize on the surge in demand by hoarding supplies. Some pumps do fail. If you need one, you should probably have a primary and a spare. The spare can be permanently installed at a slightly higher elevation than the primary. That way, if one fails, you've got at least a second working pump. You also want to make sure that they are wired on separate circuits. The new Arquault circuit breakers are notoriously sensitive for tripping with electric motors. So if a breaker shuts off and both pumps are on the same circuit, you would have the circuit breaker as the single point of failure. So buy what you need before it's an emergency. We saw numerous gasoline-powered generators for sale in Facebook Marketplace for $3,000 and above, instead of the usual few hundred dollars that it would be more expected for a generator of that type. Home Depot was out of stock, and they were out of stock even of 1.5-inch pipe. Generators, like lawnmowers, they need to be tested and tuned up periodically. One neighbor had a graveyard of three generators in his driveway this week. There are also permanent generators that can be installed. The portable generators can power a few appliances, but then there are the entire home solutions that have an automatic failover. They will detect the power outage and immediately start running to replace the power source. These systems are available from several different manufacturers. Generac is one of the best-known brands. Some will connect directly to your natural gas pipeline as an energy source. Others will use gasoline or diesel. Naturally, these systems are much more expensive, but many of them will power your entire home. Several of the people who contacted me had extensive water in their basements. The repair costs can be high, and it's going to require aggressive drying after the water is pumped down to below the foundation slab. You want to prevent the formation of molds in your basement. So now is the time to go get what you need before the floodwaters start rising. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.